Bon dia, bon dia. Episode 23 features our regulars, our brothers, KK, back from beta, and we also asked Fakir to check in. Join the online community on Instagram, tell a friend, and we really appreciate all the feedback. And last but not least, parabéns, 45 years, viva Mozambique, viva.
Eu não roubei coisa de ninguém, desculpa lá muito.
Há muito boato, há muita poeira nisto tudo, mas muita poeira.
Oh, meu irmão, me deixe em paz, por favor.
Fight militarily for our independence. The involvement of many millions of people in the armed struggle.
Por quê? Porque o Colón ensinou os negros a odiarem aqueles negros que parecem que sabem alguma coisa.
É que não posso abandonar este país para um outro país. Mas sinto pena porque vejo aí pessoas licenciadas, professores, reitores. Mas o que é que essa gente faz?
Yo.
What's poppin',
homies?
Na boa. We got Fakizzle in the house.
Hey, it's good
welcome
to be back.
Back.
It's good to be back, man.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
For a Fakurant experience.
Welcome back to Maputo City.
Hey, man, it feels good to be back, man. I miss you guys.
We expected you for Easter, but Corona had other plans.
Damn, son.
And still got so many.
I don't even know when I'm going to see you guys again.
Are you going back to beta?
Yeah, Monday morning.
Hey, buddy, congrats on your masters, man.
Yeah, thanks.
And you didn't even let us know, man. I had to hear it from your uncle, man.
I did send it in a group.
Really?
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, cheers, man. Congrats.
KK, congratulations, Mr. Engineer.
Thanks, yeah, man.
All done, my
Master
brother.
Engineer.
Master of Engineer. Yeah. We got smart people in this pod.
Yeah, man. But no, the thing is, like, we sent it in a group. I think you're too busy now. You don't read our messages.
I'm fucking running around misspelling signs and going crazy and all that. So my head is all over the place.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to hear that, man. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
You know, it's all about progression.
Thanks, bro.
Know what I mean?
No, it's always about progression, man.
Yeah.
No, thanks, bro, man. But yeah, man. Tell me. So you said you went back to Cape to Rio. What's the story with that?
No, because the thing is, like, lately I've been getting a lot of heartburn.
Okay.
Because of the gas from beer.
Yeah.
So now me and my lady, we just decided now, because she doesn't drink beer, right?
Mm.
She drinks gold and ciders and stuff like that, but she also doesn't like it. So we just went on a fucking caipirinha diet.
All right.
So Cape to Rio with granadilla juice and granadilla fruit. So last time we made a bucket of 5 bottles, and the bucket lasted 3 days in three people. So yeah, man, it was dope, man. Like,
bro,
you know, it's tropical, and we were drinking on the boat under the sun.
Damn.
Not to mention what else we took, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was fucking dope, man. You know?
Bro, I don't know if there was a... I might be wrong, but I think Migs did a drink once where you kind of get a watermelon. You cut it in half. You get like half of the juice and everything out, and then you mix. What do you mix? I think you mix vodka or gin or whatever, and then you make a drink out of that. That's something.
Yeah, but I do it in a different way. I don't cut it in half. I cut a little hole.
Yeah.
And on the melancia.
Yeah.
What do you call melancia in English? Watermelon.
Watermelon, yeah.
Oh, like my daughter says, water lemon. Okay. Yeah, so I cut a little hole.
Yeah.
And then I shove a hole or two bottles of vodka inside the watermelon.
Yeah.
And then I take that lid that I cut it off and I put it back and I leave it for 2 hours in the freezer.
And
then you leave it for 2 hours in the freezer.
Yeah.
And then when you take it out, you just cut in pieces.
The only thing with that is that the fridge smells, man.
No. The fridge won't smell because you've closed the hole. It's just the best part of it is that you don't tell people. You're like, hey, here's sobremesa.
Yeah.
Niggas are eating watermelon like nobody's business. They're getting drunk because you digest that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really goes up really quickly.
Really
quickly. But it's an easier way to save money as well. You don't need to buy ice.
You don't need to buy... It stays fresh the whole time.
And you just eat.
You
know?
You remember the movie... they did it in a movie. That movie, the last movie with Scorsese, Joe Pesci, and...
The Irishman.
There's a scene where De Niro was... I forgot his name. He goes and he meets... I think he meets Al Pacino, because Al Pacino is the guy who's supposed to play...
the politician guy.
Yeah.
The mayor, or whatever.
No, the guy that runs all these unions.
Yeah,
and apparently he's a guy that...
Jimmy Hoffa,
exactly. Yeah. So apparently Jimmy Hoffa
You're getting me flashbacks of that movie, man.
That movie's dope, man.
Hey, but Gentleman is dope.
I told you, the same day we watched it.
Gentleman is fucking dope.
No, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
I loved it, man.
He's dope.
And the director is...
Guy Ritchie.
The legendary. Yeah, he came back with that shit, man. So
yeah, I love Guy Ritchie, man. He's even did the Sherlock Holmes one with Robert Downey Jr.
Guy Ritchie, it has that
like the palette. He's got like this sort of like way of his movies.
And apparently you're watching and then something out of the blue happens.
And you can see like most of his movies are not like, you can see there isn't much like budget spent on it. Because it's all about the dialogue and shit that's happening. You know, a nigga doesn't spend his money on fucking special effects and stuff like that, you know?
Going
back to Irishman, man, like my favorite part of that movie is when they're in the car and they're talking about the fish that was left in the car and the smell.
Bro.
And then Al Pacino comes in and he's like, son. And he asked the driver, like, have you ever caught any fish? So don't fucking talk about any fish. You don't know shit.
Yeah.
Son, never keep the fish in your car. Simple as that.
That's the way they talk in codes, man. Catch it that way.
That is a punchline and a half.
No, that's crazy, man.
And the fact that the nigga took the back seat.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, they can't kill this nigga's son, man.
Yeah. And that's the way, like, you know, in like gangsters or whatever. Because I don't know if you heard this interview where like they talk about Biggie. He never accepted he never liked anyone to be behind him because, you know.
Yeah, it was always aware.
Yeah, you're always aware of your senses.
You don't know what's going on behind your back.
You don't want to take any chances. But yo, you guys, I don't know if you guys watched two movies. One is called Mid-90s. And then the other one is called, the name is running.
Mid-90s.
Jonah Hill produced. Did you guys watch it?
No, Mid-90s.
It's on my list still, yeah.
Bro.
It's an old movie. Well, not old, but it came out last year.
2018.
Oh, is it 18?
Yeah, December 18th.
I'm going to download that tonight, man.
Damn, I have that movie, but I didn't bring my laptop. But that movie, bro.
And when we say download, it means download legally.
Yeah, of course.
We pay for that shit.
Okay. Yeah, you were saying.
Yeah. So mid-90s is crazy, man. It's I don't want to spoil it. You guys got to watch it.
Don't be the spoiler.
But what I want to say is that it's gonna be a movie that brings emotions that are familiar to you. Like,
do you think I'm gonna cry? Because I'm a cry baby. Like, if
I even
cried in Coco, man.
Yeah, you're gonna cry.
You know,
you're gonna cry.
So I'm a cry baby. So am I gonna cry?
Yeah, you're gonna cry.
Okay, I'm in it.
That's one. The second one, King of Staten Island.
Huh?
Bro, King of Staten Island.
Oh yeah, with what's his name? The comedian
David Peterson and Bill Burr and Jude Apatow is the director.
Right,
Bro, that's
what is
serious.
Jude Apatow.
Yeah, Jude Apatow. Jude Apatow.
What has he done that I've seen it?
I don't know. I have to go through his stuff, but he's. I think he's. Let me Google it. Let me get my Googles on. But it's a very good movie. It talks. You'll love it. You'll love it. It's
okay, man. I'm. You love it. I need to stock up my movies for Belen.
Yeah.
These movies. But fuckers, what we haven't spoken since pre-corona, man. What's been on your motive? You've been up to? What is your anything you're aspiring to?
Changing
in your
lately,
life? You taking a U-turn? Like what's happening?
I'm spinning around, bruh. I've lost count of how many U-turns I've done, but you know they were for the good reasons. But yeah, lately it's been chilled. I'm still in constant contact with my other half, my baby, you know?
Nice.
And
nice.
I've got...
That's good. How are they doing?
She's good. She's
nice,
good.
Man, growing.
She's just upset that, hey, we always have to talk on the phone. When am I going to see your face, daddy?
Hmm.
I'm like, this face right here? This face right here? This face right here? It's called daddy. You know? And yeah, soon, I don't know, like I'm waiting for this pandemic to kind of slow down so I can go to Spain and see my little one, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, I got a new lover and she's mucking a phase.
Fulfilling it.
To not say fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, we complement each other basically, you know? But yeah,
nice,
other
man.
Than that, I'm still working like a slave, you know?
As long as you're happy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
no days off.
Now, good thing is they didn't blacklist Mozambique from entering Europe. So
for now, because you know, like last week we saw, I saw like I was watching the news with the missus, and we saw that there was like 45 new cases and one death in the last 24 hours. I'm like shit is fucking, you know, like increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think like the state of emergency will be soon.
Will be lifted.
Yeah, I think the president will still give another 30 days.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I can see them continuing this sort of status,
yeah.
If you call it that, because we're not in
lockdown per se.
Yeah, it's more like we're not in the rates that like South Africa's been hit, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that we were, you know, hoping that never gets to that, but you never know. But I think that what makes sense is them just continuing to extend what's happening now, the same thing.
Because the thing is, like, I think it's going to be very difficult for the president to do a lockdown.
Yeah,
it's almost impossible.
It's impossible.
Because, I mean, you look at the Bayrouj, like... Patrice, Mashava, and stuff like that. People won't compromise to that.
No, this is difficult.
Yeah,
it's
you
really
know?
Difficult.
And the fact that some people leave off, you know, selling in the streets, and the municipality has been cleaning out the pavements and the streets with people selling on the streets, you know, has brought a lot of...
That was coming, though. That was
inevitable. It was coming. Like, yeah, I'm actually glad because now, like, you can actually walk on the pavement.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's messed up because people don't meet. They don't get to still do their ends meet, you know? So for some people, it benefits. But for some other people, which is lower class, you know, hardworking class people, they're struggling, you know? And I even saw like, no, então é para fazer o quê? É para então começar a vender minha bubuta. Okay, you know?
Yo, who said that?
In Abaixa, like when Comiche was cleaning out the streets.
I know it's not funny, but like I'm looking for that skit.
I sent you the video in the
group.
Oh,
really?
Dude. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure if you're listening, you've probably heard it already in the intro.
Yeah, by now you probably
heard it. And you know, it is funny. But it's not.
But no,
it's no jokes.
No, it's no jokes. It's no jokes. I mean, look, it's obvious. Obviously, it's a sad situation. You know, I think that you know, as well as you want some positive, like you said, you can walk on the pavement now, you know, there's probably less people hassling you, trying to sell you something. Yeah. But yeah, that comes at a cost. And if the government, you know, whatever plan B they have for to relocate those vendors, it's almost like I'm hearing rumors. I don't know if it's true or anything, but like that the plan B or the place where these vendors are supposed to go, either the conditions are not right or it's not ready. It was too fast. It's too far. Like all these different sort of like criticisms that you know, different people are making.
Yeah.
So I think in one angle, it's like that was always going to happen and you're always going to get like critics and things like that. And it's a new thing and it's a change. Huh? But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. The thing is, from what I'm seeing is it's almost like this coronavirus came in perfect timing for the government, because it makes me feel like they wanted to do this a long time ago, but now they're using that.
Yeah, it's like to clean out the streets.
Like
a lot of governments around the world, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Different agendas. Different.
Yeah, because this is like an advantage to a lot of corporations and a lot of governments. You know.
Oh yeah, they're taking advantage. They're milking it for sure. Like everywhere, even in South Africa,
even in the states.
States, yeah. Everywhere. Yeah, Brazil.
Name it. Yeah, Brazil. Yeah. You know, like for example, they're using the corona like in the Amazon to keep burning more
trees
and a bigger portion of the forest.
And that's the lung of the earth, man. Like most of the fresh air comes from there. Bro.
Exactly. You know? So it's crazy. And I think it's like the funny thing is like for me, like seeing it from a beta perspective, like you see how much like, you know, everybody's on top of each other. Like, and Beira is a city that moves on a lot, like Etip Zambeze, it moves a lot on motorcycles and chopelas and stuff. Are you gonna have social distancing there? Like, of course. And this is the funny thing, I'm sure Zambeze is the same thing, and Kilimanjaro, you see bikes with like four people carrying carvalho the whole thing.
The social distancing thing, it's really only happening on like at banks or at shops, but not everywhere,
not shoppers, barajas.
Dude, I'll tell you what, I went to Belém. I was in Belém two weeks ago. Trust me, every other place when it comes to petrol station or a restaurant, they say, you must come in with the mask. But of course, once you get in there and you order your food, you can't be eating with the mask.
It's impossible.
But on that side of the country, which is Gaza, and Gaza only has one case confirmed in the whole country. But the fact that that place is not that affected by the COVID-19, you know, people are taking it like it's nothing. So in Belém, you see almost nobody with masks, bro. Like nobody.
Yeah.
And gets me thinking, okay, so these people are comfortable because I know it hasn't reached much here and stuff like that. But it only takes you...
takes one person.
That wrong action to not wear a mask or to not fucking comply to the precautions of the prevention of the virus to spread it.
Facts. It only takes one person to spread.
Yeah, so I think our government is taking it very, how can I say? They're taking it very easy. They're not being strict about the precautions.
I think they're actually doing a very good job.
But it took us a while to actually get serious about it.
Yeah.
Because South Africa got serious about it until they had 1,000-something cases. We were still fine. We were still not a state of emergency. We were still like, okay, living day by day.
Yeah.
And when the niggas woke was when Os Mineiros, they ended up coming back into like Moz. And that shit is dangerous, you know?
Yeah, because you're bringing in a lot of... But I think our government did all the best they could do based on the conditions that they had, you know.
I still think they can do better.
Yeah, of course, there's always room for improvement.
You know, because the thing is like, you know, like, okay, we laugh about, like when we see on the news, people when they ask them, oh, what is coronavirus? And they can hardly pronounce the coronavirus and they can, you know, and they say some funny names and we laugh at it. But then again, that means that people are not being educated about it.
Yeah.
People are not being informed about it.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about people from the villages, people from the just outside town. Like if we don't need, we don't even need to go far, like as in north of the country and stuff like that. We talk about the capital, which is the concern is being taken more seriously, yeah, which is in the capital city. You just need to drive out of town and you see people that are very ignorant about it.
Yeah.
No, and it's true. Not their fault, but it's just lack of information of, you know, the government is not really informing people that, hey, shit is serious.
Yeah, I think, but one thing is they are making an effort, you know? Like, I think they're making an effort. The thing is, I don't think we have the resources to deal with 27 million people or 30 million people, you know? Like there's a lot of people spread around. Like, I feel like if you had this 10 years ago, it would have been easier to reach people. But like now, like people are just so spread. Like you go to certain areas that, you know, it's difficult for people to reach. But also, I think it's our duty to a certain point.
Yeah.
So I want to give you, I want to tell you a story.
Mm.
And when this whole thing exploded, I think it was in April, if I'm not mistaken. So I have some friends that actually...
No, it was in March.
Was it March?
Yeah, because I just come back from Cape Town.
No, but I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know if you know. All right,
sorry.
So,
no, because you say this thing spread. No, I think it was around April.
I think when this whole thing that I'm going to tell you happened, I think it was in April. I'm not sure. Basically, I have some friends that they live in, that he lives in the States, right? And he's actually like a childhood older brother of mine. Like, you know, we used to live in the same area.
This Ian?
No, I don't know if you know him. It's you probably don't know him. It's a guy called Beto. He's been living in the States for like 20 years. And I mean, he's very good friends with my uncle. He's actually from that generation, you know. So and he left like in the 2000s.
Is he still there?
He's still there. He has a wife. You definitely don't know.
Because I know another Beto that was in the States as well, but the nigga's back, yeah.
Yeah, so he's there and I mean, he's part of him and I'm not sure if he's okay with me.
He's busy making America great again.
he actually was there protesting with Black Lives Matter, but that's a different story.
And that's one thing you brought it up at the chat we had, right?
We're gonna get into that, but yeah,
we'll get into that.
But let me finish. So that friend of mine, him and a few friends, they've been trying to help from there, like, you know, with the after they die crisis. So they helped a little bit. And
with the after what?
After they die a cyclone.
He died
last year.
I mean, I thought he said after they die crisis.
Yeah, like, crisis
that comes after someone's death. But okay.
Yeah.
He died.
Fakash is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me just say one thing. You know this thing of Cyclone die?
Yeah.
So like when I was in Cape Town and I'm like, yeah, baby, one of these days you'll come with daddy or you'll come visit daddy in Mozambique. She's like, no, I can't go to Mozambique. I'm like, why? It's like, no, because all of you guys are swimming underwater, all the houses. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, no, mommy showed me the pictures. And she showed her the pictures of the cyclone die. That's some fucked up shit.
I know you mentioned that in
episode 16.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
It's worth mentioning, bro.
That's still crazy.
But back to the story. So the guy, him and his friends, they've been trying to help since cyclone die. And now that I moved there, like, he talked to me. He was like, hey, you know, what's up? Whatever. Are you there? Like, whatever. Are you willing to help with some of the stuff that we're doing there? Like, charity work? I was like, yeah, I'm down to help. You know, let me know what I can do. And I got up with a few friends of his back in Beta, and we decided to buy, when this thing exploded, when they were like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to get some, are we going to close? Are we going to go in under the lockdown or whatever? So this guy's Beto and his friends, they just decided like, okay, let's buy a bunch of soap, you know, like kilos and kilos of soap. We actually got a bucket. We filled it up with soap. And we went to a lot of areas, a lot of underprivileged bairros, you know, like bairros that... Yeah, actually bairros where, you know, people from Idai got relocated to. Yeah. And a lot of them, they don't have a lot of conditions and stuff. And then we went and we gave soap, like two soaps, two bars of soap to each family and whatever. And we try to educate them like, hey, you know, you could use a mask. You could use, you know, all these things. You could use cinza. You can use...
Yeah, like educating people.
About yeah, yeah. And what I'm trying to say with that is I'm not trying to big up myself, but I'm just saying like, you know, we can also do something, you know. Although I was paranoid, like, hey, you know, maybe I'm going to get corona here.
Nigga, you think you're paranoid? My pops.
Hey.
That nigga is caring like nobody's business.
But no, but I mean, like, it's, you know, the like, age.
All the workers at home, as soon as they get home, they need to shower.
Damn, son.
He's like, hey, it's okay that you showered at home, but when you come to my house, you work for me, you go shower. And then when you go shower, wear gloves and masks. Like, my pops is... But the thing is, like, the fact that the elders are, how can I say, fragile.
More at risk.
Or more in risk towards the pandemic. They are the ones who are most concerned.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, this dude... I mean, this dude, mean my pops, yeah, you know. But okay, I'm like, this nigga, he is kind of pushing it too much, but he's not. He's just being concerned. And the thing is, what scares me the most is some people are not really concerned about this. They're like, they're taking it like na desportiva. Mm. Like it's nothing.
Mm.
Like, ah, no, nós somos africanos, vamos apanhar. Ou, a corona não aguenta com calor, é mais para frio, é por isso que na Europa estão a apanhar. Mm. I'm like, nigga. It sells. They adapt to climate change. They adapt to bodies and stuff like that. So, people think, oh, no, because it's so hot here, it's not going to get to us. Yes, okay, I think we're getting less than other countries, like if you compare to Europe and stuff like that. Probably is... because of, you know, our climate conditions and stuff like that. But that just shows the level of ignorance, you know, that as people in Mozambique, we have. You know, the messed up part is that, you know, like the fact that, you know, like the municipality minister, I'm not going to drop our names, but you all know who we're talking about, aka X5 BMW.
Because of the big nostrils.
Patient
Zero.
Yeah, Patient Zero, my nigga, he is. You know? So, given that, yeah. The fact that he couldn't come out and speak for himself and say, yo, I got it. And his wife had to come out and say, you know, I got it too. Just shows the level of ignorance. Because him being a government, you know, like when remember when Boris got diagnosed with coronavirus?
Yeah, he was quick.
That was all over the news. Blonde nigga, got rid of the virus real quick. But at least it let the people know that, hey, no matter who you are, no matter how much you earn, no matter whatever the
status
level of status in the community you feel in,
mm.
He let them know that anybody can get this.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I get it.
I like that. Yeah. And the fact that him being a prime minister of UK and he came out saying that, hey, I got this and this, this and that, and he got a cure of it, you know, it's a big step. But I'm telling you, if that municipality minister couldn't
come out,
and his wife had to come out and say, "Yo, I got it," meaning that, hey, if I got it, that means my husband got it.
you know? And if he couldn't come and do that, do you think even if our president gets it, do you think he's going to come out and say, yo, I got it? No, he's not going to do it. But then that just leaves the community and the people of the whole country thinking that
it's okay, a bad, they think it's, the a, it's like a very bad thing.
Yeah.
Like the stigma will grow, right?
Yeah. The stigma is big. Like, I don't know if you guys heard of like someone like, oh, in Beira, certain bairros, they were actually saying like, we are going to kill anyone that gets COVID. Point blank. Because
they don't want it to spread.
Yes.
But that's shit
crazy.
You see, shit like that wouldn't happen if Kamish had said, hey, yo, I got it. Because now the lower class people would know. Yeah. Anybody can get it. So now they all know that, hey, now us only lower class people, if we get it, of course we're going to die. So there isn't any motivation or any, in a sense of security that is given from the government to the people to say that, hey, it's not the end of the road if you get coronavirus.
Yeah. The thing is like,
you know, that's one thing that people are not getting it.
Yeah. I feel like after the coronavirus, you're actually going to have like a mental illness issue. A lot of people are like, especially the people that get it, they're going to need help with mental health, you know, because they're going to be feeling depressed. They're going to be feeling stigmatized. They're not going to be invited, you know, to like family gatherings. You know, people around them won't be willing to like dar dos beijinhos. And like our culture is like one where we do dos beijinhos. We hug and stuff like that. Even this whole thing is difficult for everyone, you know. Like, I really feel like hugging people and whatever, but, you know, I do.
Oh, yeah.
But we hugged.
Anyway, it's cool. We hugged today, man. I haven't seen you for so long. Yeah, so I had to hug my nigga, man.
Yeah. You know?
You know?
But it's still, like, it's difficult, you know? We don't know how to deal with it. No one knows.
But one thing I'll say is
and that's the thing, like,
one positive thing about the COVID-19 is that it's messed up, you know? But at the same time, it's actually reminding people or teaching people to be hygienic.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
Hygienic.
Yeah. But one
you
thing.
You know what I mean?
One thing that I feel like, I get your point. I get your point. But I think one thing that's important and that people are messing up is
don't
that.
Be laughing at
no,
me.
We know what you mean.
Correct me, man. Yeah, which one of the two?
No. You said it both. For me, you said it both right. Continue.
Yeah.
KKK.
Yeah.
So you don't know
apologies,
it too.
Apologies.
Yeah, but I was saying, I think one important thing is actually having a good immune system, you know, being able to get out, get it fresh air, like get sun, you know, good thing that you're going to Belen as long as you get some sun, you know, that's good, you know, and all those things. So I think that's important, you know.
Yeah, that's someone has a small bladder. Can at least shut the door. But anyways, yeah,
it is what it is. But I think like you know, is making sure people here we have folhas de eucalipto. Use that.
Yeah.
Bafush. Exactly. take vitamin D. You know that helps a lot.
Spend time outdoors.
Outdoors. Yeah, yeah. Get some fresh air, sun.
Yeah, get some fresh air. Get some sun.
Run.
You know, we're very lucky in our temperatures because I feel that we have great weather all year round.
Exactly.
Right? And even now temperatures, it was cold, I think a few weeks ago, but like now we have temperatures of like 25, 26.
Yeah. Minimum 20.
Yeah. And you know, we're very lucky in that regard that we have great weather in our winter.
Exactly.
That we're not suffering as hard as some of our neighbors.
Exactly. Imagine being in Swazi or SA. SA is getting -2.
There's places in SA. I think I went to a wedding a couple of years ago. It was close to like Newcastle in KwaZulu-Natal. And it was like, you know, a place that's like very dry and everything.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, like I went, like it was a wedding and like it was like the dinner before like the day of the wedding.
Mm.
And so we arrived like during the day. So the sun was out. And that's the thing, like There's places in South Africa where it's like it's sunny during the day.
Yeah.
You know, and then in the early morning or at night, it's...
That's when you see gangsta. The reality. You like...
It's something else. And so, I get a jacket on. You know, you have like your thermal, your shirt.
Yeah.
I put a shirt on top of the thermal. I put a jacket on.
Yeah.
A scarf and a hoodie. A beanie. Right? And then I go outside and then like there's this breeze that is like, it feels like it's so cold that it feels like your skin is cutting like in your face.
Yeah, facts.
Like, you know, and yeah, it was,
bro,
I haven't felt that way in a long time.
I went for Christmas, I think like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, went to Swazi, to some cousin's place. And we're chilling there, you know. This is Christmas, December, supposed to be summertime. Bro, the way it was cold, I was wearing beanies, you know, the whole nine, bro. Like, and they live like in Babani, but in a very high area. So, and we had to, you know, the house was full. Like, they have a small house, but the house was full. Like, you know, everybody was there. And probably about 20 people or 25 people. And it's like, you know, a small house, like, 3 or 4 bedroom. So people had to sleep in the living room. Some had to actually sleep outside and do like a small little tent. And there was a toilet outside, like a bathroom outside. So every morning niggas had to shower outside. Yeah. Bro, imagine.
Yeah, I remember I went to a camp like that once.
Imagine,
and
man.
And had to shower like outside. And,
bro, with that cold, you know, like, and like in the morning, like you could see, like, you know, it's probably
and,
like.
And it was one of those, I remember it was one of those like paraffin. They had to heat up the water with like paraffin or something like that.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man. You have to heat up the water that way, man.
Yeah, that's why, like, you know, you have people that, for example, like speaking about camping, like you have people that enjoy this thing of going out into the wildlife.
Adventure.
Which is great. Like, I'm all for it. I'm actually all for it. But like, I'm the type of person that, man, I like a comfortable bed and a pillow.
So you're too stuck in your comfort zone.
Like, for example, my wife and I, when we travel, we take our own pillows.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Because
that's
like, fair. we can't sleep on any other, you know.
Especially now.
It's got to be feathered pillows. You know, like, you gotta sleep
those
on.
Those are the best, man.
Exactly. So those are the best. It's like feathered pillows.
I'm gonna steal that.
Feathered pillows, man. Whoever's listening, no, it will change your life. No,
but where do you find feathered pillows here in Maputo, man? I don't know, man. I need one.
But I gotta say, yeah. So it's even things like your pillows and so forth. So
yeah.
For example, I really love the idea of like glamping. I don't know if you heard of glamping.
Mm-mm.
So it's like luxury camping. In a way. So it's like, you know, it's like as if you're going into like a hotel-ish sort of scenario camping. In the wild. You know, or like festivals. Some festivals as well have started doing this whole concept of having
luxury.
Yeah,
setting.
Like these, exactly. So, which I think is fantastic. It's brilliant, especially for festivals. Because you find people that are willing to pay more to have that sort of
comfortability,
but also still being in the festival, which makes sense. Yeah, and also the festival will be like, shit, we can make more money from this.
Yeah, of course. But
that for me is, I'm cool with that, you know? I'm definitely cool with that. But maybe, you know, now that you know, we all are becoming parents and fathers and things like that, we'll have kids that will want to go camping and so forth.
And experience.
I don't mind camping in our backyard. Then, yeah.
No, but that's how you start, man. Remember when my daughter turned 3 and you guys came over for her birthday?
Yeah.
When we were in Cape Town. Remember that garden?
I used to always put
up the tent there. She'd be like, okay, let's wait until mommy sleeps. And then we go outside and we sleep there the whole night.
Yeah.
So we would wait for my ex-wife to sleep.
Yeah.
And then me and my daughter would sneak out of the house to the garden and would sleep. So, and then in the morning, we would be woken up by her. Like, you know, but it was cool.
you know. Yeah. But it's a way of starting
So for example, one of the ways in which you know, like with coronavirus and all of that, and someone in my household gets coronavirus, you know, we're gonna really have to talk about this camping situation in the garden.
That
would be like the quarantine
area. Yeah.
You know, if someone has it and someone doesn't.
You know, and my pops was like, "No, you leave my house." So basically,
is that what your pops said?
Yeah.
Like if one of you gets it, then
So basically, the nigga is supposed to go to, I mean, the nigga, my pops. I love you, man. No disrespect. But yeah, that nigga is supposed to go to Nampula next week, right? For some business purposes and family reasons. But Nampula is the most affected province in the country when it comes to COVID confirmed cases. So out of joking, because I know he's very serious about precautions about COVID-19, that nigga has stacks of masks, man. Like these ones, like the medicinal ones. He's got stacks like fucking, you know. So he's going to Nampula. So I was joking with him. I'm like, hey, dude, that is the most affected place, man. And my mom lives there. And she hasn't left the house in the past 3 weeks because she's so scared of it, you know? So I'm like, dude, you going there. By the time you come back, you're going to have to stay at the hotel for 14 days. He's like, no, fuck you guys. You all leave my house. I'll pay for the hotel. I'll sleep in my bedroom, you know? But at the same time, I was just, you know, and he got it, saying that, okay, since you're going to a place like that, when you come back, you have to be careful. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to go to the hotel and quarantine himself, you know, for 14 days at least until he makes sure he doesn't have any because he's going to Nampula.
Yeah.
But I had to let him know. Because the thing is like, you know, that thing they say, oh, no, avoid kissing your partner if you guys have different jobs and stuff like that. And if she's not a housewife, she goes to work and you go to work too. So by the time you come home, it's very important for you to avoid kissing and stuff like that. Dude, I got a sexy lady at home. There's no way she goes to work, I go to work, I come back. There's no way I'm not going to kiss her or make love to her. Bring that corona, baby. To win it. No. You know what I mean? Yeah, but I mean, you know what I'm saying, right?
No, I think
it's tough, man.
I think it is.
But I think
so. Imagine having to isolate, like, let's say, for example, your wife has to travel, you know, on a job, you know, trip,
yeah.
And then she comes back, and you have to quarantine her for 14 days because where she traveled to, there's a high level of numbers of confirmed cases. You will be cautious because you've got a daughter and she just came back from the trip. What if she tells you, no, baby, I don't have it. It's okay. What are you going to do? You'd be like, okay, fine, because it's your wife. But you have to fucking do it.
I can't say what I'll do because she listens to this podcast, but I get you.
But you know
smart,
what I mean, right?
Man.
You know, I won't lie. I'm not going to tell her to fucking isolate herself for 14 days.
No, but
you got it. I got it, baby. It's fine.
No, but you know, the whole thing is that,
you know, but it's not fine.
No, but the whole
thing, it's actually supposed to be like, she's supposed to be quarantined. Or my pops is supposed to be like away from us 14 days. But he's like, no, fuck, you guys go to the hotel and I'll stay in my house. I don't mind staying in a hotel.
Nah, screw
that.
So
if he gets it, he's going to stay at home and you guys go out to the hotel.
Yeah.
Nah, fair enough, man. He pays the bills.
It's his house. Yeah, he pays the bills. Well, I'll pay my bills too. You know, I'll work, you know, but it is what it is.
No,
yeah.
But I think just not, you know, like not touching people, shaking hands and not having, you know, hugging and stuff like that, you know, makes a lot of difference, you know. So as long as you're not touching a lot of people, you know, it's okay, man.
Yeah,
but this might say some dumb shit.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, we just decided to call our good friend.
Let's see
if he picks up.
Yeah, that's my brother, my big brother right there, Bashir Ali.
Yeah.
Nigga.
Hey, yo, Black Adon.
Black Adon.
Hey, what's up?
Como é que é?
You're live on the podcast. What's up?
You're live on the pod, man. What's up?
Hey, what the deal, my niggas? Como é que é, meus irmãos? Tá bom aí?
Yeah, we good.
Oh, gravy, bro.
Hey, família, numa boa. Que tal aí? Qual é o papo aí?
Epa, we just talking, man. We want to know how you're doing. How's this corona treating you?
Ah, man, tô good, man. As precauções exigidas sempre a cumprir.
Yeah.
And like taking time for family. No job agora, já switch with school work. I'm a teacher now and all that shit. Mas yeah, relaxado, né?
Word.
Living each day.
Nice one, man.
That's what's up.
Yeah, you're doing
a lot of music, recording almost every day. And
That's what I was about to ask, man. Have you got any new music coming out?
Yeah, bro, some dope shit coming out, man. I'm telling you.
Bro, I actually saw your name.
Yeah,
Mad Guns. I saw your name in their latest mixtape. I actually need to listen to it.
Hey, Kappa Kappa.
What's good, my nigga?
What's good, my nigga?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, my name.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Thanks a lot, bro. Very appreciated, man. You were also a big part of that, man. You helped me out certain weekends, man, when I had to, let the steam go out.
Blackadon, can I tell you something, man?
Yeah,
our nigga KK has gone back to drinking beers, man. I'm so happy, bro.
Hey, Buzana Goons in the house. Love,
hey, one
love, capa. Temos que conectar aí então nesse
way. For sure.
Amanhã vou estar no cast, então depois podemos falar com você na internet lá à tarde amanhã.
No studio. Let me call you on.
Yo, Black, since you're on the pod, is anything you want to promote? You want people to go check out?
Not really, but yeah, man. Só para dizer que o people tem que ficar firme, man. Ter fé que esta cena vai acabar e continuarem tipo a tomar as precauções, mas já. So they ficar atentos.
But basically what
muita
he was
nova
saying
música.
Is...
Yeah. All right.
But basically what he was saying is a lot of people don't know about the red carpet track, man. You got to let them know about the red carpet track.
Yeah,
you and Kes.
Yeah, magic check that shit out, actually. Yeah, depois da magia, after the magic, produced by Chef Fussouls, mixed and mastered by Chef Fussouls, Magic Carpet is the new deal. Também estamos a fazer novas cenas with D-Flash, T-Dry,
Diego.
And Baba X também trabalha conosco, SG. So yeah, a lot of shit is gonna come through. Yeah,
amazing.
A lot of new stuff.
Amazing. What we'll do, Black Sun, is that we'll put links in the description so people can check it out. And
for
show
sure.
Yeah, that would be dope. Yeah, vai ter uma different exposure também.
Exactly.
And all right,
my bro. No. We're gonna chat soon.
Thanks,
we need
guys,
to get
man.
You back on the pod soon. Nah, he's on a long weekend expedition.
Yeah, he's in a hiatus.
He's still celebrating the independence.
45, yeah.
45.
45.
Not down.
Viva
Mike. Not down, but good to hear you, your family, man. Good to hear you niggas, man.
All right, we'll chat soon. Stay well, man.
Nice. One time, bro.
Two times, bro.
One love.
Yeah. Peace, yo. All
right.
Peace. Yeah, that was our brother Blackadon, Black Sun.
Sizzla.
Yeah, that was actually cool to test that out. So, you know, we're taking calls now on Kugula Podcast. So, you know, all you have to do is email us or hit us up on Instagram. And, you know, yeah, we make it happen. You know,
yeah,
if you have
man,
any questions out there, any questions for, you know, Fakir, who's having like a you know, we're not going to put your number on here.
No, I mean, if people... No, like, what I think we should do is that whenever we have a podcast, we should let people know on the internet and let them know which number to call if they want to, you know, participate.
We're still trying to work this thing out, but
right now is we'll close we'll, for...
Yeah. We'll try and see what the possibilities are.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure, like, you know, the friends we have overseas and stuff like that, they probably want to, you know, they listen to our podcast, but they probably also feel like, oh, I wish I could participate, you know?
Yeah,
so
makes.
The fact that
what
they
we'll
can
do
actually
is,
call...
What we'll do is we'll leave it in if anyone wants to, we'll leave it, you know, in the description. There are emails. We're also on Instagram. So
yeah,
hit
so
us
we
up.
Can schedule the days.
And we can see if people are interested or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can test it out.
Yeah.
Definitely we can test
for
it
sure.
out.
For sure. What do you think of this thing of this debate around like Mambas changing the name and all of that. That's like the hot topic of discussion right now.
It was about time.
You think so?
Yeah. Because if
what's wrong with the name Mambash? I just want to know, like, what do you think people have wrong with it? I don't have anything wrong.
No. I don't have anything against the name, but it's just that the name has been downgraded because of the.
The team is still the same. The team is still going to be the same. You can't change a name, and then you change the name, and then the team, going to play like Brazil.
Basically, the team will never be the same.
You know,
because there's players going in and out, in and out, in and out. But the fact that everybody say, Osmamba, the thing is, people have lost confidence in our national football team.
Fakir, in your own words,
our players
don't need a new name. Só precisam de banho.
Yeah. Precisam de banho, like ir para lá, para o tio tradicional. E também, malta, all right. It doesn't have to be that way, but you know, African way. Mas a cena é que they need to change the whole structure of the national team.
They need to change
because
the structure.
Because the thing is, Mambash... It's almost like marketing, you know? If you change the packaging, it has a different impact on the product.
Yes. Mm. But if you haven't done shit to the product, what is that new marketing going to do?
But that's
going to be temporary.
But
it's going to be for just a year, and then it's going to be the same shit.
But that's the power of the packaging. The product can be so shit, but people will buy it for the packaging.
My
thing is that, like, as much as you can change that packaging, right? Cool, no problem. But what are you introducing? If you're gonna change the packaging, I'm all for it. But there needs to be like some new formula or something in the product. That is also something that is going to bring that longevity. Because what's going to happen is you're going to create this new image of this team that just plays the same shit.
Yeah, but H, let's...
you know what I mean?
Okay.
That's my argument.
What are you doing?
You're just like, sugarcoating this whole thing.
Yeah, basically that's what Coca-Cola has been doing it for years.
Yeah, but
just to flip.
But Coca-Cola's good though. We're not.
Yes, but okay. Yeah. What I'm saying is
that's the point I'm making.
I'm going back to that concept of changing your packaging, which is very important.
Yeah,
it's the same thing that's happening to our country. The part is still the same. We're just changing the liars. Every one of them that comes across to become the president, they come with a new lie, and that gives people hope. Same thing with I was gonna associate, you know, like the name Mambash with Coca-Cola. It's like Coca-Cola has always been the same formula, but how many times have they changed their packaging? How many times have they changed their range from Coca-Cola coffee, Coca-Cola vanilla, Coca-Cola cherry, and stuff like that? So going back to Mambash is people already sick because it's always been the Mambash. And Mambash is not really our icon. Like, snakes are not really us.
Okay, as people.
Yeah. No, I mean not as people, but as, like, for example...
Like as a nation. That's as something nation. That represents the nation, right?
Yes, yeah. So, for example, you get Australia, which is like a fucking koala or what's the animal? A kangaroo.
Wallaby.
A kangaroo.
Yeah, so they're like wallabies.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, Mozambique never... It represents themselves with a snake on it, unless it's our national team play. So basically, the fact that our national team is called Mambash makes no sense at all. And the fact that Osmambas, we've given Osmambinhas, we've been given different names just to downgrade our national team. So what needs to be changed is not only the name, but it's the whole system around it.
I think you know
what I mean. Because changing the name is not going to make any difference.
I get your point.
Because what we want is the result.
So we agree. Sorry, KK. So Fakir, what you're saying is exactly what I was saying. Is that I have no problem with changing the name. You know, and I agree with you that also. I also feel that like the name Mambash doesn't really represent like Mozambique, yeah. like in a way. And it's almost like
it if you're going to represent...
Yeah, Masaroka, or like, you know, we have an AK-47, you know, yeah. the AKs, you know. You
one could, of those, but not Mambas.
Akapash.
But imagine if our national team was called Akapayam. But, you know what I mean?
But our point is that we're on the same page, because it's like, as much as you're going to change this name, it, you know, what are we doing to make sure that we are, you know, training our players better, academies, like what is the vision that is going to, in let's say 5 years, or even if it's 10 year project or whatever it is, that, you know, we're going to get fresh youngsters in our system that are going to represent this new name, this new hope, this new sort of like look and feel yeah. for this brand and of soccer, football.
And I think it's, you know, you actually went on a good point, because, you know, like, they just voted a new president for the Mozambican right. Football Association.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, I don't know how hard can it be. You just have to watch other teams overseas, how they operate when they bring youth. All they need to do, there's only one academy that I know. Que é a Academia de Eusébio. Que é da Eletricidade de Moçambique. And they're actually really investing in kids to actually start playing from a very young age. And eventually, a Yama Academia do Costa do Sol.
Yeah.
You know? But then again, what grinds my gears, apart from Ron Palone on a square bread, is só os putos que têm dinheiro, que vão para a escola portuguesa, a escola francesa, é que conseguem pagar para poder fazer parte da Academia de Eusébio, da Eletricidade de Moçambique. But we don't know how much potential there is nos bairros, nos distritos, yeah. lá fora. E as tantas, tu vês um puto que gosta de futebol, só gosta de CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo, então a cota vai lá, paga o ano todo para o puto ir jogar lá, mas o puto não joga nada. Mas aquele que o puto, epa, o pai atrasou uma propina e tal, que o gajo é o último espila, é menos tratado bem do que o outro que nem joga nada. Mas his father got guaps, is paying for the kid to fucking play, and the coach dá mais atenção. É isso que estamos a precisar. Like, we don't, yeah. É por isso que eu digo, like, point. the coaches of our national team são jogadores que jogam overseas, não é o treinador que está aqui. Por quê? Porque os jogadores que jogam overseas, digo, mexer, e houve alguém, não sei se foi no nosso grupo do WhatsApp, foi no outro grupo, do Simão Sitoy. That nigga has played against Ronaldinho, has played against Neymar, has played against Mbappe, has played against Zidane. And that nigga is getting old, but he's the role model for the players that are to come and become great. And Moz, como Mexer, como o Domingues, you know? Mas como é que vão buscar Abel Xavier para vir treinar Moçambique, que diz, um treinador é um treinador porque ele treina a dor. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro?
All right.
I get
you know what I mean?
Okay, I think
you're right.
We just need to invest more in youth academies and stop segregating.
Yeah, of course. But the thing is, like, it's deeper than that. You know, I think it's more, if you look at the bigger, like, nations.
But it doesn't have to go that deep, because talent has no class rate.
No, but talent needs structure.
Yes.
Talent needs structure. So my point is that if we had any structure here, in a sense of, like, you start playing competitively and getting rewarded, in a sense that, like, schools get rewarded for campeonatos de 10-year-olds.
Yeah, from their
schools, bairros, províncias and whatever, so that they get money as a reward. They would be so competitive that, you know, we would be getting from a certain generation, like 10 years down the line, we'll get like beasts.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, we don't have any competition. The competitions that are there, you should be able to pay, like, I don't know, 50,000 mets, 100,000 mets. It's not even that complicated. Pay 100,000 mets to a team of 10 years old 10-year-olds or whatever that they need to play. And then you give them brand new shoes, whatever, you know, and then they get to repeat the same thing next year. The team that's been winning for 2 years, if they know that, you know, they don't win, they're not going to get like brand new shoes. They're not going to get whatever, you know, like better conditions. Yeah. Or they're not even going to have a chance to stay in that scholarship, get it a scholarship or whatever. They're actually going to be, you know, very scared, and that fear is going to drive them. So I think that we need structuring from a very low level, like, and that structure comes with motivating in terms of like money and then things, yeah, you know, like you have to motivate people, like un trenador, like I'm sure like there are dudes that can be trenadores, but like even age could probably be a trenador, and he's going to be like, bro, I'm not going to leave my house, stop playing with my kid to go and sit there on a Saturday or whatever to burn my time, and then I don't even get any reward. This dude's probably not going to be playing on the next Seleção Sub-15s, whatever. Yeah. You know, you get so frustrated that you're going to be like...
That's a very good point, because it even starts with like little leagues, you know, like, like the under eights.
That's what I was going to say now. Like, you know, what really killed our football in Mozambique is when the government stopped doing Bebek and Sobek. Because look at our national team back then.
Yeah, yeah. Facts.
We were fucking brilliant.
Capanga!
No, Capanga came after, but I'm talking about like time with Sobek. It was like Coca-Cola doing a tournament, this big company doing a tournament and stuff like that. In our days, doesn't happen. And the fact that FIFA left our country for 2 years, and do you know what they were? What was their excuse? There's no transparency in Mozambique. And that was when about 40 countries left Mozambique. 40 countries, out of those 40 countries, 18 of them used to contribute for the yearly budget of the country, including Germany. And FIFA was like, yeah, fuck that. We're going to step away too. But then Germany and FIFA came back. But the reason why they left is that there was no transparency. It's because nigga that is elected to be the president of the Football Association in Mozambique, nigga is going there with a different plan.
It didn't inspire.
Yes. And you know, the thing is, how the fuck are you going to put a monier that used to sell capulanes to become a president of the Football Association? Nigga doesn't know shit about football.
Yeah, and the thing is like...
Sorry, I must say this. One thing that makes me angry is that... I'm sorry, I'm going to change the sport, but we're still in sport. Lourdes Mutola is very underrated.
Yeah.
Because nobody else... in my lifetime, in my pop's lifetime, in my kid's lifetime, maybe I'm underestimating my country, but nobody else will do what she did.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the only gold Olympic medal we have.
Yeah. No, try. Facts.
You know? And she coaches Casa Semenya.
Facts. You see?
Yes.
Why couldn't she be coaching our athletes here? Why couldn't the government invest in somebody to become just like her?
Facts, bro. You're
right. You know what I mean?
What she's training
at now, Master Semenya. The thing is, like, I want to.
You know, brilliant athlete.
She was
herself.
Only. I don't know. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. But she was only the Minister of Sport for 1 year.
But I want to bring something to your attention. I think there's also we gotta. Take everything with a grain of salt, because FIFA is also a very corrupt entity. One thing. Second thing is that we have all this...
But FIFA spends money.
Yeah, spends money. But
you
what
know,
I'm saying
if
is...
If a corrupt nigga leaves you, that means you're more corrupt than that corrupt nigga. Of course. Bro.
But I mean, they are...
Am I wrong?
They are at the pinnacle of corruption.
If a corrupt...
But they are
organization
corrupt.
Leaves you. That means they're like, this nigga. Mm-mm.
But they are. But you know that they are very corrupt too.
Yeah, they are.
So,
but be more I than
mean,
them.
But I mean,
it's them to leave and be like, hey, there's no transparency.
No, I mean,
it could also be that they left because they also couldn't see things going their way. I don't know. It could. There's two sides to every story. That's what I.
That's the point that I'm trying to make. You know. Take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I know. But the fact that let's bail out porque também as tantas aqui. No, it's a lie, bro. They like corrupt places.
What are these corrupt places?
No, I mean African countries.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, they'll come with a project and be like, okay, host this tournament and this, this, and that. We're giving you this much. And then out of this much, our return is that much. But then, if, I'll give an example, like when I was in Pemba, I had a team of 13 kids from 8 till 13. I had to go to every parent's house of the kids and be like, yo, Saturdays and Sundays, if they're not at home, they with me. I used to coach them. I had like fucking 13 kids and eram putos fodidos, man.
Havia um chamado Lampa. Mas ele se chamava Lampa porque ele chamava o maninho de Lampard. You know? Então ele era Lampa. Yeah. Então tínhamos maninho players e a cena que eu fazia era malta. Eu comprava malta fucking 2 caixas de bananas. Um cacho é para antes do jogo, outro cacho é depois do jogo, se eles ganhassem. Eles, mas coach, queremos botas, queremos equipamento. So I wrote, I made a petition to the company I was working for. I'm like, yo, I've got these kids and stuff like that. Porque a casa onde eu vivia em Pemba era mesmo ao lado do campo de futebol e dos militares em Pemba. Então, eu fui lá, malta, fui recruiting one of, cada puto, estás a ver? Então, malta fazia competições, malta. Meus putos dos 8 aos 13 competiam com putos de 15, 16. Malta, eu dizia, ei, joguem lá com meus putos. Quem ganhar, eu pago refresco e almoço para todos. E jogava-se, bro, os meus putos. Não havia equipamento, calção rasgado, você via biquíni rasgado, tudo. Mas they would play it with a passion.
Facts,
só dizer, eu tinha pelo menos ali 4 putos que eu dissesse, porra, esses putos pudessem bazar para a Europa. They would be one of the greatest players around. Mas that's only much I could do.
But that's what if you look at countries third world countries, if I put it that way.
You
like
know, I sent videos to DSTV.
Yeah.
You remember that campaign that DSTV was making, like Let's Play?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that campaign,
yeah,
Let's Play?
Yeah.
And like if you had like a very sporty event or a very sporty like idea that you were doing with kids and people and Super Sport would finance you and fucking support you. I sent about 8 emails and 8 videos of me and the kids playing. Altas fintas, man. Golos.
And did you get any response?
They're like, nah, we're not taking any inscriptions right now.
Well, that's another story. But what I was saying was that like with third world countries and things like that, in terms of kids going pro, you've got a lot of kids that are, especially, for example, like let's take an example of South America, like where you have a lot of scouts from various clubs from Europe, where you have various scouts that are, you know, for years that are, you know, scouting the next best talent from these countries. And I think that in terms of here in Africa, I think that's, you know, the positives that I can see is that that's going to grow as well. Mm-hmm. That's going to grow as well. But it's also the responsibility of these organizations, like our organization, like the Mozambique Football Federation,
yeah,
to actually also do their part to attract these scouts. Mm-hmm. Because these scouts, you know, I've also, it works both ways. Mm-hmm. These scouts also got to come here and attend certain tournaments, mm-hmm, and, you know, have that face-to-face, if mm-hmm they can, with certain players and players' families and mm-hmm things like that. Like having that access to watching these kids play. So what I mean by that as well is that, you know, a lot of the times, yes, you've got to also attract these scouts. Mm-hmm. So now with all these technologies that we have, such as YouTube Live, Facebook Live, all these different means in which it's not like it was like 20 years ago, mm, you know. Now we can actually record in 4K high definition.
And approach people.
And actually send scouts, it to these, yeah, scouts. So my question is there anyone from the Mozambican Federation that is, you know, getting videos of these skillful kids that are playing and sending it to these scouts?
No.
I'm not sure.
And if
we don't
there
know
isn't, if there isn't, but it's not that they...
But shouldn't there be?
they should be, but if there isn't any people sending them anything, it's because they're actually not looking for it.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, in my opinion, I might be wrong, but in my opinion, the Football Federation in Mozambique deviam estar à procura de potential players. You know? Deviam estar à procura porque é assim. Like, we are third world country. What are the chances of, and you know, best players, good players come from townships.
Of course.
Ghettos.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the best players villages, of today.
You know,
the Messis, the Ronaldos. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Então, how are they going to get to the point where they're going to film themselves se o telefone só toca, não tem câmera? So it's very difficult. So that's what I'm saying. It should be the job of the Football Association to go around the provinces. There's so much potential out there.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I really enjoyed is that when we played football in Cape Town, for example, we played for fun, of course. It was like a way of exercising. But I remember that Fives, you know, had those five-a-side pitches and all of that. But one of the things that they introduced, which I really liked, was having...
We did some good shit back then, man. Yeah.
Shout out to Ivan.
Goalkeeper, man. Goalkeeper.
But what I was saying was that one of the things they introduced was they put like three camera angles on their fields that actually you can record the game and actually watch it live. Mm. So you had people that could watch it, you know, at home.
At any time
and watch that particular game,
dope,
which I think is amazing.
That's dope. So,
the point I'm getting to is that I don't see any of that effort like happening here.
Bros, the thing is like, let's get to the very basic thing.
Money.
We probably, yeah.
No, it's not money.
Wait.
How do you think I was handling buying cones and football balls and stuff like that with 13 kids? It's not about money.
Wait, for kids.
It's about people being committed to actually wanting to work.
Yeah, but for kids.
You know, the Football Association has to want it to work.
But for
kids. It's not about money.
For kids, yes. I think it's a mix.
Bro, I had my kids playing just because I gave them bananas.
That's nice, for kids. What I'm trying to say is that,
you know what I mean?
Fakir, there's a lot of a long list of things. Yes, you're right. Commitment is probably number one there, but there's also money and there's infrastructure again. How many places you go to, os campos aqui na cidade, the camps, the fields that you used to play in, now there's like they're reducing. You feel like they're kind of reducing. If you get a field, they probably is being used for something else or whatever the case is. In the city, probably there's still a few fields, but as you get out of town, you find fields that, you know, they've been appropriated for something else, you know. So the basic thing is that you're not going to get kids to play if they don't have fields, because they're only going to be playing na estrada.
But the kids don't need fields. They need a coach. Huh?
Yeah.
And they need motivation.
But that's the infrastructure. They need a coach and
my
motivation.
My kids used to play barefoot and they're like, coach, havia noite que eu... Like, porque era sábado e domingos. Eu, se bebesse maninho numa sexta, estava a levar da ressaca. Os putos vinham bater o portão da minha casa. Coach, está na hora de treinar às 9 horas. Eu estou com babalaza. Mas I would have to get up from my bed, make breakfast, get the kids eating, go train, and then arranjar uma equipa para competir com os meus putos. So it's not about the money. It's about the drive, it's about the feeling. Porque, bro, você pode comprar as últimas chuteiras para um puto, mas se você não dá aquele passion, aquele feeling ao puto, ele não vai te jogar. Same reason why, how the fuck do you think Liverpool won the season? The coach.
Yeah.
But they got all the money they need. They got all the kids they need, but it's the motivation, the interaction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no, that's a brilliant point. And
I'll tell you what, there was a football team, I can't remember the name, and you listeners, if you do, please comment, whatever. There was a team that went to play in Swaziland from Mozambique, and it was a one-day tournament, like preseason matches, right? And the team won the tournament. The niggas that lost, teams from Lesotho, different teams from the Southern Africa went to play in that tournament and the Mozambican team won. All those teams, each one of the players had their own bebedouro. Do you know the team, what they were drinking from? What the water. Bidon de 20 litros. Copo. They sharing. But they're professional players. Huh? And it's fucking sad. And they won the tournament. Do you know what they were given? Un saco de cebola y un saco de batata. If I'm lying, listeners, please confirm. I'm telling you. Do you know what they did? Half of that team quit the team.
Yeah, the motivation, right? The reward.
Yeah, bro. It's not about the money. The motivation, it's, yeah. It's who's driving the engine.
Yeah, I don't agree 100% with you. Like, I think it's a mix of things. It's about motivation, yes. It's about money, yes. It's about infrastructure.
Okay, KK, motivation, they had none.
And the thing
Wait. Motivation, they had none, but they still won the tournament.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say is this, is that what makes great, like, for you to have consistency, you need to have continuous amounts of infrastructure, motivation, and money. Because the thing is, like, haven't you heard, like, this saying where sometimes... you need to have motivation. You don't need motivation. You need to actually keep doing it consistently. There's people that if you rely on motivation and you're like, oh, I need to feel motivated to do A, B, and C, you know, you're not going to get anything done because sometimes you don't feel like doing it. But the thing is, like, you have the infrastructure there. You have at least the investment there. You have like something that you need. You feel like, okay, if I wake up, and the goal is this, I have to do it, whatever the case is, you know, I just have to get through the day. And that's the thing, like sometimes you won't have motivation. And some of the best players, even fighters, I'm just going to do an example here. Like there's a guy that, you know, his name is Derek Lewis, he fights MMA. 4 or 5 years ago, he used to drive trucks. Nowadays, like last year, he fought for the heavyweight championship of the world. Mm. And the thing is like, bro, he probably didn't have motivation, but the thing is...
But you know what he had?
He had,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The type of leader you have.
Yeah, probably. Yep. Someone has a very, 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 very weak bladder.
Yeah, someone has a very weak bladder today. Just what's going on?
What is he taking? Who knows?
Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But you know,
who knows? I think it's something that it's a very long debate about this. I think that it will be interesting to know like what people think about it as well, because you know, as which comes back to the point that I was making, which is like no matter what you do to change the name or to change it, you know, you're getting the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
And like I was saying, Fakir, is like the thing about Coca-Cola is that yes. Coca-Cola and a lot of brands, they rebrand their packaging, but the product itself was already great.
Yeah.
Our product sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you have to get a procedure or process where you roll out, you know, first phase is probably getting the infrastructure in place. Second phase is probably having a plan in place where you know, okay, this thing is going to affect, like, you know, school students, Mujudo Bairro, whatever, you know. Like, it's not a joke that you go to countries like Brazil and you go to countries like South Africa and every bairro, I'm talking about every bairro, has a field, a park or whatever, you know. Like, just go look at Brazil, look at South Africa. Every bairro has a campo where you can play. So that's a very basic infrastructure that lays a foundation. And then from there, you take over, you go into other things. And then, you know, it takes maybe 5, 10 years, 15 years, but then you get what's needed. You know, like in Brazil, it's you get like all these little escolas do PSG, like Madrid, Barcelona, whatever. That's where, you know, all these players came from. Like, you know, I think Coutinho came from one of the schools, and I don't know if Neymar came, but a bunch of players came from these schools. And then these schools, they don't need anything specific. And like Fakir said, they just don't need to get physical money. They just need to feel like they're working towards something. Gabriel Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. It depends on the kind of leader you're being led by.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
You
that's
know?
True. That's true.
And do you feel like we don't have the right leaders here?
No.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
I mean, yes, I feel like, yeah, I said no, but yes, I feel like we don't have the right leaders.
Can I do a 360 here? I don't know. You guys want to say anything?
360, we're going back to the same thing.
No, 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 360, 180. Sorry.
There you go.
Can I do a 180 here?
I want to
get your opinion on something. What do you think about...
Well, let me just say, you sound lovely.
Thanks, thanks. Thanks, thanks.
You sound so sexy.
Right okay, here on Kabula 1875.
You sound sexy. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, all right, they cool. So with this, one thing is I want to give a shout out to our good friend, Junior. I don't know if you saw in the group.
He's cooking and selling it, bro.
Yeah,
it's what's he doing?
He's cooking meals and selling online.
He started a business where he's like...
Amazing.
Delivery business, food, even doing that as well.
So shout out to him too. Who? Even goalkeeper, even.
Oh, even. Let's plug him up.
We'll put it in the description.
I don't know if he's cooking,
but I know that him and his girlfriend are doing... amazing as well.
Feeding the homeless. Number, man. I want to call him. Yeah. I miss him.
That's a dude that we should probably call on the podcast.
I knew one guy. He was also in Cape Town. The short, light skinned guy, Mulatu. Era Gordarich também. I'm forgetting his name. E depois tinha aquele outro. O da capoeira, aquele nosso brada, também que era nosso keeper durante time.
Fábio. We'll call him in. Yeah. Now. Yeah, we'll call him in for an episode. Yeah.
Hey, please let me come when he comes to. but Ivan, yeah. Man,
yeah,
aquele é um keeper and a half, my man. I'm telling you, Fabio is dope. And it's dope because he can fucking play,
and he's and got he can good go reflexes. Keep.
Ivan, yeah. É aquela cena. Ele mesmo, o way dele é baliza.
The other way.
É baliza.
Yeah, you know?
But he's good at what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But with Fabio,
he communicates very well.
Yes. And, yeah, you guys sang a maning. But that's how it is, you know?
Yeah.
But, mas com o Fabio também, you know? But, yeah, what I wanted to say is that, fuck, man. I miss fucking playing football, man. This COVID-19 is fucking keeping me from...
Yeah, but to my point.
Yes.
Actually, I wanted to say big up to them, Ivan and Junior. But what I wanted to ask you is one thing. How do you think this, with this COVID thing, you as a person that cooks, because I see you post a lot of your foods online.
Yeah.
How do you think this thing is,
this guy
you
cooks. Know,
yeah, this guy cooks very well, man.
I've been cooking for 11 years, man.
I can't hear you.
I can bake your cakes.
Bro. I can't hear you. No, I'm joking. He does. He does cook. He's decent.
He's okay.
He's like in the championship of like cooks, and that's a compliment.
By the way, to all listeners there, go to Instagram, go check out Detox Juice Essay. The shop is closed, but soon to be open in Mozambique. De preferência, na primeira etapa será em Catembe. But check it out.
Nice.
We're going to have a medicinal juice bar. And it's going to be a pharmacy. But we're just going to cure you with fruits and vegetables. But look out for my page so you know what's coming. So it's Detox Juice Essay on Instagram. Check it out.
Plug.
And once it's done, I'm going to do a detox in Mozambique. And you guys will always...
be welcome.
Can always be welcome and, you know, come and taste the greatness
tirar
of
a babalaza,
being healthy.
Tirar o pico.
Nice, man. We can't wait for that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, the thing is, it's a bit difficult because, you know, like a lot of people in Mozambique are not health conscious. You know, only the ladies that are going to the gym and stuff like that. But, you know, like I've spoken to people and stuff like that. And the messed up thing about Mozambique, when it comes to new ideas and new business, everybody gets excited about it, you know? So when I released my video on Instagram about the detox juice bar in Cape Town, I had a lot of niggas texting me, even sexting me, and being like, yo, I got money, let's make it happen, Moz. But the thing is, dude, I could actually indulge with any of those people that wanted to invest in the business, but they don't know what goes behind the business. You can't just say, oh, that looks good. I want to do it. I got money. Because the thing is, this, as soon as I decide to go in business with you, but I'm doing the work, all you're going to come to me and it's going to be you asking me for numbers.
Exactly. So this is the point that I was trying to make. I knew I wanted to plug you with your business. So I was successful with that. And what I wanted to say is that now with COVID, do you know, have you, what are the precautions that you probably could give out to other fellow, you know, kitchen
business owners? Just do deliveries
owners,
or domicile.
But like, what are the precautions? Like, do you need to wear this or do that? Or how is it impacting from it your point of view? Because you worked in a kitchen and you know how it goes.
So we're talking about food as the product.
Yeah, food, right? Juices, so like, whatever the case is.
When you work with food,
how do you pan this out? How do you look at it?
So there's a lot of different, you know, like directions you can look at. It's because, first of all, when you work with food, is the key thing is freshness. You know? And the thing is, second of all, I've worked with Uber Eats. And Uber Eats, everybody that ordered from me, I had to make sure, like, if the Uber Eats called me and they're like, hey, the customer is asking for this, this, and that. And I would ask, how far is the customer? Second of all, what does the customer want? And then I would make my preparations or the food that I'm making for the customer, given the time frame or the availability of the customer of how fast would he get to get his product. Because when you work with food, bruh, it's very sensitive. And plus, me doing detox, for me it was very, you know, because the thing is, it's not like selling a phone or it's not like selling a pair of shoes and stuff like that. When you sell food or juices and stuff like that, you're playing with people's health. So if that food or if that juice, in my case, the juice bar, didn't go down well on that customer, trust me, that customer either will sue me or will never come to my shop. So there's different things you have to look at. And the thing is, with Junior, our homie, holla at your boy, bruh, what he's doing is dope. But the thing is, he's got a very big menu. You can't have a very big menu when you're limited when it comes to access to people. You can have a big menu when you have walk-in customers. But when you're doing deliveries, it always has to be like one day prior to what you're going to make. Your customers have to tell you what they need. So you know what you're buying and you know what you're cooking. Because if you're just going to cook everything that's on the menu, you're going to end up with stuff that's going to rot and people won't buy. So that's why it's a bit risky what Junior is doing. I love it. I respect it, you know? But in my opinion, the thing is, he stays in Blue Downs. So that means most of his customers will be from around that area. And that area is lower class people. So you can't expect one guy from Stellenbosch or one guy from Worcester or one guy from Cape Town or one guy from Newlands to drive all the way to Blue Downs to go and buy a plate of picanha. If the guy can actually go to Spa and buy meat and bright himself, unless he's very good friends with Junior. So that's what I'm saying. What Junior is doing is very risky. But it's doing for the passion. And the thing is, I would do the same too because I love cooking. But the thing is, you have to know what you're cooking and for who you're cooking.
Yeah.
And that I learned when I was in the hostel in Stellenbosch. I had to book my meals. I had to say, hey, I'm going to be here for breakfast. I'm going to be here for lunch. I'm going to be here for supper. You know? So that's one thing that Junior has to look at. The thing is, like, you know, the menu he sent on the group, he basically told us that, hey, everything that's on the menu, you just order and you'll have it. You know? So let's say you bought ingredients to fucking make pizzas and I order picanha. And nobody orders pizza for 2 weeks. All those ingredients you bought for the pizzas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I get your point. The thing is, I get your point. And one thing that I agree with you is that when I looked at the menu, I was like, probably this is too big.
You got to do a market research.
But he cooks very well.
He does. He's an amazing cook.
And you also got to look at, there's businesses like, you know, that meat place in
Mzoli's,
you know. Dude used to drive from town 45 minutes an hour to go and get food there, you know. So I think, yes, it's risky when you think about it that way, but it's also like, because Junior cooks very well and his food is like your food. You guys have a very good, you know, you guys cook well. Let's put it that way, you know.
Thank you, bro.
And like, I think if people fall in love with the product, they're not definitely gonna, you know, go there to get the food. And his focus, from what he was telling me, is that he's focused on the people that are around him. And that's the focus that he has right now. And I feel like it's going to be hard. And why I was talking about all of this is because I know that the restaurant business is probably one of the hardest. I've owned a restaurant, and not owned. I used to manage one.
Holy shit, man. For real?
Yeah, in 2013.
Where? Which one?
In Maputo.
Where? Which one?
13 or 14. You know, Tropical. Tropical. Yeah, Hotel Tropical.
I think this nigga's lying. You can't even make sense of shit he's saying.
No,
I'm kidding. I know. I'm kidding. No, but you.
Me and my boy, we used to have it. But the thing is, like, it was like that was a second hustle. And, like, it was difficult, you know, trying to buy stuff, you know,
What's the most difficult part of restaurant business? Is quality control.
Yeah.
You know, if Hugo comes to my restaurant and he has fucking picanha or fucking camarão and he loves it. That means one month or 2 months down the line, when he comes back to the restaurant, he's going to order the same plate that he loved it.
And he expects to eat it and taste
the
same.
He expects to have the same experience. And if he doesn't have the same experience, trust me, that nigga's going to go to another restaurant.
And that's difficult to maintain.
That's why it's so hard to work with food and people.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to maintain that here in Mars.
If that chef sort of leaves or moves on, right?
Yeah.
Then it's different.
No, but the thing is, the recipe is one thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, recipe is one thing. But Fakir, to be honest, the recipe is one thing. But I've noticed when I've been, you know, to many experiences where you have the same thing on the menu, but the chefs are different, and even I can taste, you know, some of my favorite meals that it's different.
Yeah. But H, let me tell you about one thing that happens with food, and I'll give you a very practical example. You know your mom's, right? I'm sure she has one dish that you remember from a childhood, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure if she cooks it today, it's gonna take you back to that day, right? But there's been times where it wasn't the same, but it was the same dish.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for a chef to keep the same standard.
Yeah.
But it's very
easy.
That's
why usually when chefs change, they come with a new menu.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but it's also very easy for a chef to teach the same recipe and same procedure to somebody else. It's up to that somebody else to put their own signature in it.
Yeah.
That's what it is about cooking.
Yeah.
You know, like the dishes I cook, it's not out of the ordinary. It has been cooked before, but I've got a little sprinkle of Fakir on it. I've got my own signature, you know?
So when can our listeners expect, are you going to do post-COVID when this whole...
Just ask and pay. Pizza.
Because I remember you
seafood.
Were doing this.
My specialty is
because I remember you were doing this in Cape Town where you were inviting friends
Sunday dinners.
So can we expect that post-COVID in Maputo? Are you going to invite people over?
Well, we can do it during COVID.
It's actually dope that you actually brought me back to that because I actually had left...
It's all right. I'll send you my 20%.
Yeah. And you know, and
I'll send you my 20%.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. For those who are not my friends, you know, for you listeners, for those who are not my friends, I'm sorry. But if you are my friend, you're welcome to bring a friend to become my friend. But What I used to do is I used to do Sunday lunches, and every Sunday had a theme. So it was either Italian Sunday, Indian Sunday, curry Sunday, seafood Sunday. So whatever it is, I'm going to do it. Thank you, Age, for bringing that idea back, you know, and I'm going to do it. And you just pay a small fee. E a malta come até bufar. I'm telling you. You know? But it's also a way of bringing people together. Porque até pode ser bom market niche, because I've heard people like, eu tô com saudade de uma brada. Só que não vejo gás por causa do COVID. A lot of people haven't seen each other.
Facts.
Because of this, you know?
Yeah.
So this can also be a way of bringing people together. But hey!
Cuidado com os mahindras.
Bring your masks and your alcohol with, you know? Todo cuidado é pouco.
As your friend, I recommend you do this after COVID.
I think I can't do before.
Yeah, because I think that it will be interesting to see. And one other idea, you know, we're putting it out here because, you know, people may take this idea, but, you know, like, we don't care. But
it's all about the flavor. Yeah,
if someone does it, then, like, brilliant.
But, and invite us,
and
please.
Invite us. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I think that if it will be interesting if you do these pop ups, in different places around the city.
Yeah.
And even setting up the whole scenario. So even if like Katembe becomes like a destination.
No, Katembe will be a restaurant. But if we are gonna do it in different places, of course there's gonna be a limited number, because there's one thing about food. There's a big difference when you cook for 5 people and when you cook for 20 people. The food is going to taste different.
Fact.
You know
For sure.
You
know? That's a given, yeah.
The reason why I say it's going to be limitado é porque eu prefiro cozinhar para poucas pessoas, because my biggest satisfaction is people's satisfaction.
Gotcha. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we are saying to Fakir to keep going and keep creating. We want to see this happen, Fakir. Like, we're going to hold you to it.
This is going to happen, man.
We're going to hold you to it. Is there anything else you want to leave as a last note?
Okay.
In this episode, which is it episode 23? Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it is. And I've lost count.
Well, I'm glad I'm here.
Your message to the nation, Fakir.
My message to the nation is keep the squares out of your circle. Stay healthy. Drink more water. And fucking do one act of kindness a day to a complete stranger. Trust me, it will change your day and it will change your life.
Facts.
Right.
Bro,
that's my status on WhatsApp.
KK, when are you heading back to the other side?
To B City. I'm heading back on Monday.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. Maybe you can knock one of these out.
Yo, when you go there, man, just go to Dois Mais Um, man.
Yeah, I've been there.
Mm?
Yeah, I've been there.
Next time you go, you call me. I'll call the owner.
Oh, really? You got the connects? It got the connects.
My pops is doing some shit, man.
All right, cool. All so right.
You're going to have some meals for free.
All right, cool. Nah, they serve well, man. They have good food, man.
Hey, nobody heard that, man. My pops ain't got nothing there, man. You know?
But yeah, KK, your last thoughts, your message to the nation.
Yeah, man. Just, you know, keep going, man. Stay healthy. Drink water. Stay active, you know.
Yeah, that was my thing, bro.
You're just saying what he just said.
God damn, you can smell my cologne.
Damn, nigga. So, okay, cool. Listen to good music, you know. Keep your spirits up, you know. Keep a very...
What have you been, guys,
man, lately?
Healthy, mental. And
you know, because, you know, Age, you my inspiration when it comes to new music.
I think as I got to give KK this one. He recommended to me Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist Alfredo.
Alchemist.
That is the best album I've listened to this year
thus
far.
Is back.
Yeah, that if anyone's
looking
stupid.
For like if you're a lover of hip hop, man, you're gonna love this. It's
Alchemist and
Freddie Gibbs.
It's one of the best albums.
It's one of the best albums.
That's one of the Yeah, I would never even expect a mix of those two together.
Yeah, for me, the Jay Electronica and the sort of Jay-Z album is also really good. Like, a lot of people didn't like it, but I really liked it.
Jay-Z have an album?
Yeah.
It's basically Jay Electronica's album, but
featuring Jay-Z.
But it's featuring Jay-Z. It's
How long?
It's been now since March, for sure.
March. But that's also a great album as well. But this Alfredo, for me, knocked it out the park, man.
Alchemist.
Alfredo is the name of the album. It's really crazy. But yeah, like, Message to the Nation to finish it off. No Glove, No Love. You know,
100%.
Yeah,
hey, No Glove, No Love. Para quem não entende inglês. Sem preservativo, não amor.
Exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
Então, protejam-se.
And what I gotta say on the last note is happy birthday to Mozambique, 45 years.
Yeah, independence. Yeah.
Independence.
But it still makes me angry, though.
Okay, we'll save that for another episode. But let's say
that's
that,
another day.
That's another day. 45 years, Mozambique, and also congratulations to Liverpool fans for winning the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah, holy shit! E também feliz aniversário, 100 anos do Mundial, man. You know,
definitely, good shots.
And you know, he's the only nigga that everybody talks about Samara, but nobody talks about that nigga. So happy birthday, my brother! Definitely. I'll see you soon.
Good shot.
I mean, I'll see you later. Not soon. I still want to leave and I still want to have some more babies.
And on that note, we out.
Well, one.